Hey. Come on back into another episode of Game Runs Deep and Talking Champions. I'm Sudhu Upadhyaya. That's Ben Garrett, who is who's having a good one today. Like you just told me you're having a great day. You don't wanna what were you reading me, Ben? You were imparting some wisdom upon me.
Yes, so for Talk of Champions listeners, Game Runs Deep listeners, this morning I was, everybody knows, man, my tongue is what kills me, bro. Like, what I mean by that is, like, I can't help it, man. I was, the other day, I was hanging out with some of the coaches, bro, and I was running my mouth, just doing what I do, and I, man, just blitzing with every curse word you can imagine. Well, first of all, I talked to, like, a friend of mine who's very, very Catholic. We were riding back home from all this, and we're talking about some, about cuss words and all this kind of stuff, and the history of them and stuff, and it's about the intent and all that kind of stuff. But it was funny, because this morning, I felt very convicted that at some point God's going to have me in a pulpit preaching. So this morning I was studying the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, brother, the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And it led me to James. And James started talking about a bridled tongue. And I'm like, yeah, God's talking to you here, brother. Your tongue is something fierce. So that's what I was reading. Like Sudhu said, hey, read me some of that book, that Bible, bro. So we were about to talk about a little bit about a bridled tongue because your boy BG is learning more and more every single day that, like, yeah, while the intent is not, you know, to hurt or harm or anything like that, man, my tongue is crazy. So, like, I'm going to try to do good.
Pause.
My tongue is crazy.
Pause of the century right now.
My tongue is crazy.
Yo.
What a Friday.
What's up, dude?
What's up? What a Friday here on Game Runs Deep, Talking Champions.
Ben, how did it feel? The first comment, June TV. Ben, how did it feel when Lane stared you in the eyes? It didn't feel like nothing. Like
Doesn't stare at people in their eyes, by the way. This is like a well-known thing.
Yeah, it was funny because on the field we've been talking. I've said this a million times. I can't believe we're still doing this. We've been talking for a little while about other things and then, you know, then that or about this, all this stuff. And so like, it was over. I was collecting. I was like, all right, well, I got to wait for him to go to the thing, go to the post. And then he walked back up. And so it was confusion more than anything. So I was like, oh no, wait, he was talking shit. See, they're already messed it up. My unbridled tongue. How far do we get in? 2 minutes and 37
about
seconds.
Two and a half minutes.
So how did it feel? It felt hilarious and confusing. And then when I realized what had happened, we've been talking ever since about it. And I've mentioned many times how, and it didn't feel like that. It just shows you how viral moments, sometimes or most times don't capture the true spirit of whatever was going on. So for me, it wasn't like that. And then after it was over and we talked in the hallway and we talked in a press conference and we've talked multiple times on the phone and we talked, and I mean, it just never felt like anything serious. And the more and more, but like, it's funny how everyone has an opinion on how you handle things. And that was, so how did I feel in the moment? I was like confused. Cause it just wasn't like that. It wasn't, as if he was coming at me or we were talking. And it's like we're on the verge of fighting for those first, you know, handful of minutes we were talking. And then, you know, once the cameras got where he wanted them to be, it was like it was planned and orchestrated, which it was. But I don't care that anybody says, Ben, you should have done this and that and this. Because I've gotten that from everybody. And initially I was like, man, I should have just talked my crap right then and there. And I didn't. And I'm thankful for it because – I mean, God spoke to me in the moment, bro. I heard his voice, and he was like, don't do what you think about doing. Just shh, be quiet. And I was like, for what? This ain't nothing. And then I realized. I also told a story because Jake Skuhn over on my special teams coordinator's behind me. He was like pulling me from behind going, dude, you can't win this right now. So I'm thankful because the next morning I get a call, and essentially if I had popped off like I wanted to, buddy, I wouldn't have had this job the next day, I can promise you. From the people I was talking to. So I'm thankful for God's restraint, but also pride always tells you, man, you should have talked your noise and done your thing, but I didn't do it. So
no, you didn't. No, you made the right call. And I was going to say that
you could have been the dude who slapped Lane Kiffin. Sure. But also I would have been the guy who was broke, who slapped Lane Kiffin and didn't have a job. And it would have expedited my path to the pulpit. And I truly believe that like God in that moment kept me exactly as I was because that would have hurt the potential witness one day. So, like, we on a different journey, man, and I ain't even – what did the five fingers say to the face? Slap! Like, I thought that too. I was like, Mason Chappelle, bro, like some Dave Chappelle thing. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God has taught me that none of this is all that serious. And yeah, I'm just glad to be here. I am happy to be on Game Runs Deep, mainly because one, Sudu is one of my favorite people in the world. Y'all know this, and I talk to him all the time. But two, like the NCAA tournament, I think we're kind of doing good.
We're doing okay, man. So yeah. I ended up, for those of you that joined our March Madness Runs Deep bracket on ESPN.
Because it runs deep everywhere it goes.
It really
like
does.
The tongue is crazy and it runs deep.
God bless. Here we go, man. This guy.
You're the one that paused it.
Yeah, I did pause it for a very specific, for a good reason. No, but yeah, so you, me, and Murphy Holloway's bracket in the group right now is sitting at 23rd. I got a couple wrong, got a couple right. I did one of my own.
One of my own too.
Did you? I couldn't find it. Did you name it?
It's whatever ESPN something, a bunch of numbers
oh,
two.
Oh, my God.
I tried to rename it. Couldn't tell, and I was like, I don't care. It can be just ESPN 5761 number two.
Well, there's a lot of ESPN fan numbers. But yeah, I'm currently, my personal bracket's currently sitting at eighth. Yours are me, you, and Murphy's. We're 23rd right now. so I knew, you know, the McNeese thing looked really good in the moment. And I mean, during the game, like I thought McNeese could pull it out, but unfortunately, the Fighting Bill Armstrongs did not get it done. So that took a hit.
Okay, that hurts. It's been a fun opening round though. Like High Point
God.
Did it for us, didn't they?
Absolutely. And High Point was that one. You know, there's so many, let me see if I can find, there's so many good memes right now of just people being like, you know, coming after people that are like bragging about choosing High Point. But it is a good point. Like, I don't know. I feel like it is something to be proud of because you obviously want those 12v5s are where the upsets happen. But like,
Smurf B. Yes, Smurf B. And we're actually tied for 24th now. My other one is ESPN. I picked Arizona to win, so that number eight there, that's me.
There you go.
Yeah.
Arizona, what do you mean?
I picked Arizona to win, so like you
got
Arizona.
Win at all?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I got you.
In that bracket.
Yeah, they're a popular pick.
I'm saying. I'm curious, because I did. Did I pick South Florida? What? Because I listened to y'all.
You listened to us, and that was so disappointing, man. I was just so disappointed in South Florida. I just felt like they didn't play at their level. I thought the Mikel Brown loss would be a lot tougher for Louisville than it actually ended up being, but South Florida kind of made it close at the end, but ultimately Louisville was, they were doing their thing that whole game. Yeah. For me, the High Point Wisconsin one was the exciting one. The win streak High Point came in with, I knew what kind of team they were. But that like High Point Wisconsin was the kind of first game that really signaled like March is here. First of all, Chase Johnston, right? The kid that hit the two-pointer to win the game, that was his first two-pointer of the season, Ben. He also had that insane three-point shot from the logo in the second half in the middle of their comeback. The kid's rocking a number 99 jersey. Talk about an iconic white boy of March Madness right there, bro. That is exactly what we think of when we think of March Madness. It's some dude from some small school comes out of nowhere and makes a statement. And once again, that fast break layup, I think it was 11 and a half seconds left that gave them the win. If you go look at the actual lay-in, it's not just like, oh, he lays it in safely. He finger rolls the thing, bro. He put a little sauce on that thing when it went in. So
I found it hilarious that it was like, that was his first 2-point basket was a game winner. Like, dude.
Yeah. 14 points, 4 3-pointers in that game. Came in shooting almost 50. I know. Well, he was shooting 50% from three coming in, but High Point as a whole, they shot 38% from beyond the arc. Wisconsin actually shot better as a team, and Wisconsin put up some threes in that game as well. I thought their guards were awesome. Nolan Winter came back and you know, did his thing. But ultimately, dude, High Point, they got me excited now. I don't have them moving past this next round, but I kind of hope they do. Like, I would not be upset if High Point were to beat Arkansas. Will they beat Arkansas? I have Arkansas going to the Final Four. But if part of my bracket gets busted on High Point's dime,
worth it.
Then, hey, I think it's totally worth it. Also, the coach. All right, so I want to talk about, I think his name is Flynn. Hold on. I don't want to get the coach's name wrong. Flynn Clayman. Okay, so they win the game, and Buddy cuts a promo. All right. Let me see if
I can. Are you going to play it?
I'm going to play it.
All right. You find that because Gail Hanna can't turn a hoe into a housewife wasn't worth it. Maybe it was it worth it. I don't know, because it absolutely was worth it. Absolutely. It was funny. I met Frank Wilson for the first time the other day. Man walks up, looks at me, says, "I know your face." I said, "Yeah, I'm that guy." He went, "Oh yeah." God expects us to show people who we are. I was not intending to call Lane a hoe. I was saying that a leopard can't change the stripes about a bigger point, but it gets lost in the sauce because in these days, man, just like that viral moment, like context doesn't matter. What happens in the moment is what people remember. So was that worth it? Yes, because while crude, that I told the people who I am and how I really felt about it, and it's been great to see how God has worked through that very stupid thing that I said. Not like I'm a millionaire or something, right? Or anything like that, man. People blow me up all over, but not that I'm a millionaire or anything because of it. What I didn't, it's not like I made a bunch of money off of t-shirt sales and stuff like that. But what it did do was allow me to stop worrying about, what anybody else, thinks about. Like you take yourself seriously as far as your own professionalism and your own, and where you stand in your space. And, for me, I just try to tell the truth as I saw it. And, you know, I'm thankful that it happened. Ben did the right thing. I don't know. Definitely not always. Deep Adventure, you're spitting truth. He just didn't like it. Heck yeah, he did not like it, and he still doesn't like it. But everywhere I go, it's just like, oh, we loved laughing at that hilarious thing for it, and it's like it's not over for me. So if the worst thing is the person who people felt treated Ole Miss unfairly and inequitably can't like wash off being called that, that's – hysterical to me. So no, absolutely worth it.
And someone else who was upset about things being said about them, maybe about his team, about the conference he's in, Flynn Clayman, head coach of High Point. This was his post-game press conference after knocking off 5-seed Wisconsin. The man cut a promo.
First NCAA tournament game, Coach Clayman.
It looks pretty obvious to me that high majors need to play mid-majors during the season because they said we ain't played nobody. We played somebody now.
How'd you do it?
Feels unreal. Because I know how good of a team we had, but nobody would play us, just like they wouldn't play Miami, Ohio. But they got to play us in this tournament.
Coach, you were down by 10 early on. What changed?
We just settled in. We settled in. We got a hell of a team. We settled in.
Fire me up,
Benny. We settled in.
I thought he was about to cry. He was on the verge. He had so much passion in his voice.
After the first line, and he's got that look, and then he likes leaning in. I thought that man was about to turn cross-faced chicken wing my interviewer. You know what I mean? Like, that was awesome. And that's March Madness. That's what we love about it, dude. That's why, like, as an Ole Miss person, it sucks that they're not in it after the Sweet 16 last year, because it's just, in my opinion, the postseason everywhere else isn't done nearly like it's done for the NCAA tournament.
Right.
That's why I don't love the idea that it's inevitably going to go to 70 whatever teams. They're going to expand it probably this year. I'm glad to see that those first four, like Texas coming out of the first four and being good. Like,
I know.
That's a feather in the cap for the SEC. You know, everybody it's very trendy now to like dog the SEC and say, "Well, the SEC, oh, do they have a football problem? Oh, they're not the same strong basketball." Like, when you come for the king, you best not miss. And, like, talking all that, like, Texas, I hope Texas runs the Sweet 16. Because that was a team that, quote, underperformed. Ole Miss beat them in the SEC tournament, one of three NCAA tournament teams that Ole Miss beat. But it's like y'all forgot that this was a tournament team. You know what I mean?
Yeah. According to KenPom, it was still the toughest conference. Like, yes. If you look at the metrics, like, it
Ole Miss was
still
in
very
the 60s
tough.
Going into the end of the SEC tournament. They're, like, 68th or 9th. Or 7-6-7.
And he did shout out Ole Miss in Oklahoma. I was watching the end of the play-in game.
Awesome.
And he did shout him out. And then they go and beat DeBonta and BYU. I mean, they can't stop DeBonta all through the first half, but when it mattered the most, they forced some critical turnovers and sealed the deal. So
question.
Yeah.
Was the $7 million or whatever BYU paid for AJ DeBonta, who's going to be the number one overall pick in the NBA draft, most likely?
Yeah,
Darius Acuff. Like, I'm not one of those people that are convinced that the Boozer twins, especially, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't feel comfortable selecting the Boozer kid within the first three picks. So, $7 million, First round of the NCAA. You made the NCAA tournament, six seed, and you're bounced. What is the right return on investment here?
I think it is. I think it is. I think it's worth it. I, you know, you talk about what Kevin Young's done since he got to BYU. They got Igor Demon, right? They got DeBonsa. They have Bruce Branch III coming in. I think when you continue to get these top level five stars and you pay the money, it's still, I mean, and they play well. Like, DeBonsa had a great season. I mean, his last game of the year, he dropped 30-plus points in the NCAA tournament. I think it still helps you in recruiting and being able to attract this other talent. Like, talent attracts talent. So I saw this question posed on Twitter, I think early this morning or maybe late last night, and I think it was 100% worth it. And I think if you ask BYU fans, was it worth it, they would tell you, yes, it was worth it, because they were, you know, maybe a few shots falling their way from going to the next round of the NCAA tournament. And once again, there's excitement there because they're getting Bruce Branch III next year. So
yes.
I think it was worth it. I don't think you can look at it and go, well, we didn't get to the Sweet 16 or we didn't win a national title. So was that $7 million worth it? 100% it was worth it. You would much rather him be playing for your school than playing somewhere else, you know?
Of course you would. I would only say that there are, in this era, there are more than one way to skin a cat. Did AJ DeBonsa playing for BYU all year, did that provide, as far as return, $7 million worth of return? Probably not. And Ole Miss, I know, only paid like $8 to $10 million for its roster, and they finished 15-20. But a lot of that had to do with underperformance and certain things that didn't go the way you saw what the vision was more in the SEC tournament. So you could say, well, $8 million got you 15-20, while BYU got in the NCAA tournament. So yes, it's worth it. Well, it's not necessarily one for one for comparison, because Ole Miss built last year's Sweet 16 roster around the same kind of number, right? So I think you can. It obviously helps to be able to just not have to worry about money, for money to not be something that goes into consideration. But as far as building the roster, the one thing that they might question is, well, is it better to spread that out for multiple players, because they're worth some things? But I don't know. AJ, you got the AJ DeBonsa experience for months before he goes to the NBA draft. BYU is going to be where he, like, that's who is going to, like, that logo is going to be beside his name all throughout the NBA draft. So as far as the postseason and getting in didn't really help you, but it wasn't because of him. He scored 35 points. I mean, that dude's.
And it sucks that they didn't have Richie Saunders as their second best player. Yes. I mean, he's out with a season ending ACL tear. I think that coming in, that was one of the things I was kind of looking at. I hate the way they do the brackets with, like, they don't let you pick individual teams from the play-in game. So when, like, for me, it was like, okay, if NC State wins, do I take BYU? Mm-hmm. Or if Texas wins, do I take, like, I wish they would let you differentiate that. Because I did imagine if Texas could get past NC State, which I didn't think they'd beat them twice. I was like, but if they can, then we're looking at a team that maybe can beat BYU. But I don't know why they don't just do the bracket that way. They just make you pick, like, slash. Mm. And it's like, well, it's not the same matchup. Like,
well, I'm looking at my second bracket. I'm very frustrated with myself. I picked BYU how far did I pick them through? All the way to the Elite Eight. No.
Oh, wow.
Sweet 16? Nope, Elite Eight. Yep.
Yeah. The ones I missed, definitely Texas BYU in this first round. I missed Louisville USF. Me and Murph were so confident in the Bulls, man. They really didn't play up to their potential.
Only a 4-point loss, but I did pick Louisville in our our Smurf B bracket. I did say we should go with Louisville. I don't know why I didn't go. Like, y'all totally talked me into that.
For me, it was Brown's injury was the biggest factor. And also USF was playing really well. Like, I thought this would be maybe a high scoring game that USF would pull out. What else we got?
Really disappointed in myself. I know that I tried to stump hard for St. Louis when we were picking the Smurf B bracket.
Oh man, dude, talk about just an absolute ass kicking. I mean,
here's a good question for you. All right. Yeah. So I wanted to pick St. Louis. I didn't even pick him in my bracket. I guess I was just doing it fast. It doesn't matter. Or I go with what Murphy and City say. They're smarter than me. All right, so Georgia this year is like Texas A&M in football. All right? Texas A&M won 11 games, wasn't competitive in the first round of the playoffs, bounced. Georgia won 22 regular season games for the first time in their history, playing one of the fastest paces in all of college basketball, the Fighting Mike Whites, turn around, lose to Ole Miss in the SEC tournament, then lose the first round. So all of that excitement you'd built.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're Texas A&M, you're thinking, dude, that was like 11 meaningless wins. I'm not saying that they're not meaningless, but when you peter out like that,
yeah,
it's kind of hard to assess it the same way.
And it's a characteristic of Mike White teams. I love Mike White. I mean, wanted him at Ole Miss for years, especially when he was at Louisiana Tech. I thought that was going to be the next coach to replace AK. What he was able to do there, I mean, consistently getting that program to the NIT. Then he gets to Florida, he gets in the Elite Eight. But after that, it really wasn't that impressive. I mean, you're talking about a round of 32, round of 32, missed the tournament, round of 32, missed the tournament. He gets to Georgia, and in his third year, last year, he got him into the round of 64. They lost. Round of 64, they lost. At a certain point, man, it's you know, I hate it for Mike, but these questions are being brought up by Georgia fans right now of like, Is this all you get? I mean, a program like Georgia, I mean, just getting in the tournament consistently is a big deal for them. I think they will acknowledge that for basketball. But they're kind of, these are SEC fans at the end of the day, and they're kind of in the same boat as Ole Miss people were before the SEC tournament run, which is, what if we just took this money and gave it to baseball or football? And I'm hearing some of that from Georgia people that I know right now. Man, as long as Mike White's the coach, are we really going to get over the hump? Like, because last night was bad. And Ben, I knew I should have taken the Billikens, man. I mean, they have Robbie Avia. College Jokic is on that team. And I remember watching Georgia throughout the year and going, you know what, maybe this is a team that can make a run of the tournament because they have guys that can come off the bench and really provide a spark for them. Wilkinson is playing his ass off. You know, they have Dominique's kid. Santo Cirillo was a rim protector and just a monster. I mean, yeah, this is one of the worst defensive efforts I think I've ever seen.
Thoroughly beat. Like they
absolutely
there was, that was
washed.
That was yeah. not competitive. They fell behind by double digits very early on. And it was the non-competitiveness. It reminded me a lot of when Ole Miss went to the NCAA tournament in 2018 and yeah. got absolutely wiped off the floor, mopped off the floor by Oklahoma. Right? Yeah. Same kind of deal. And for Ole Miss, it was all about just getting back to the NCAA tournament. So the accomplishment in and of itself, you check the box. However, what it did display very clearly was there are some very clear red flags, right?
Yeah.
All right, is this the ceiling? Is this as far as it goes? And I think that's a legitimate question for Mike White at Georgia. But that's been Mike White, as you so aptly kind of explained. That's been kind of the knock against him since. And you're not escaping the allegations when in an 8-9 matchup, you are not competitive. It's the same kind of 8-9 matchup as Ole Miss was in against Oklahoma. Ole Miss was the 8 and Oklahoma was the 9 and got the absolute break speed off of them. Mm-hmm. It was a beatdown. I agree, Ole Miss fan, 1-9-8-8-2-4. It was a beatdown. And that, I'm not saying it wipes away what was historic, the most wins in a regular season in program history. That matters, but how you end is what usually and typically is what lasts with people, especially in the year of our Lord 2026. You know what I mean? Like at this point, the last thing you showed is what they're going to most remember and you're going to have to fight against. So the last few weeks for Georgia have, unfortunately, for Mike White and company, laid bare that, you know, or fed the ammunition to the detractors that say, well, you have a ceiling. You can only hit up against this. You didn't escape those allegations because all you, like, even if you'd have just beat Ole Miss in the SEC tournament, gotten Friday, maybe you win another one. But the fact that you wimped out like you did.
Well, and I'll give them credit for Georgia because they hit a little lull during the season where they lost a few. But then they came back and they beat Kentucky. They beat Texas. They lost.
Well, Kentucky's been.
But I'm saying they convincingly they went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think they went 5-2 for their final 7 games, beating Kentucky, Texas, losing to Vandy, really good team. Beating South Carolina, beating a ranked Alabama, beating Mississippi State. So they had some wins at the end of the season that made me go, okay, wait a second. Maybe they can be dangerous in March. Not anything crazy, but maybe round of 32, maybe Sweet 16. But I don't know what happened to that team. Obviously, the NCAA tournament or the SEC tournament, it was a close loss to Ole Miss. You know, how much can you really like make out of a conference tournament, especially for a conference like the SEC, right? Like teams lose, like Florida lost to Vandy terribly, and a lot of us have Florida winning it all. So you can't really take too much into that. But that was kind of my reasoning was, I thought they were a little more dynamic, but good God, man. As far as I'm concerned, until Mike White kind of proves me wrong, like if they're in the tourney, I'm just going to pick against them at this point. Sucks.
When it's compounded by a non-competitive loss in the NCAA tournament, that's when it becomes something like, oh, okay, well, let's look at how they finished.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you. Like, there were times like, oh, well, they figured out every team goes through lulls. They go through stretches. Basketball is a game of runs. Whatever you want me to throw out there, the canned, like, coach speak, I could give it to you because I've heard it all. And it's true. Like, it's not bullcrap. It's true. Like, basketball is a game of runs. So, You're going to go through stretches where you lose one or two, even the best teams, especially if it's one of the greatest basketball conferences in the country, 16 teams, 15 team that can win three games in the SEC tournament over three NCAA tournament teams as your 15 seed. But here's the thing. It went from, oh, well, they got caught in an improbable, memorable run with Ole Miss to, well, Ole Miss was the 15 seed underperforming. You got beat there, and then you were non-competitive against St. Louis once you actually got to the dance. I mean, that's just – it's hard to explain away to your fan base. It's hard to tell your fans, that or really celebrate the accomplishment that was their regular season when you peter out like that, because at the end of all things, just like we're learning with football, like I hope people understand something. The era of giving a crap about bowl games is over. What we grew up on is over.
Yeah.
Man, the 1997 Motor City Bowl was magical. It doesn't exist anymore. Right? Like, I think they're transitioning a lot of this to kickoffs before the year, because what does every team strive to do? And everything else is just, okay, the playoffs. The playoffs. Getting to the playoff. I mean, Ole Miss can forever talk about 2025-26 because not only did they get to the semifinals of the playoff, but also because all the other things they did in the regular season. We have de-emphasized it with the playoffs, and the bowls don't matter, but dead gummit. Ole Miss won a program record 13 games, got to the semifinals of the college football playoff, one win away or one play away if they had called the pass interference that was should have been pass interference in the end zone, one play away from reaching the championship game. That is accomplishment. That is something that you can write in history books. What can Georgia now write about this season? Won 20, a program record, 22 regular season games. All right, what else? That's about it.
Yep.
And the NIT, like some Ole Miss fans are like, well, can Ole Miss get into the NIT? There's no rule that says a team.
Why?
Exactly.
Why even go at this point? I could tell this is what you're about to tie this into. Yeah, it's. That's the same thing to me with the NIT as well. Like it used to mean something back when AK was the coach and you had Texas Tech coming to the Coliseum. Like those games meant something.
And when you got to the Final Four in New York, I mean, that was
right. You got to play Madison Square Garden, and it was such a
Chris Warren at Madison Square Garden. It was amazing.
Right. What does it do for you though? Now, does it help you in recruit? I guess when you're a first year head coach and you barely miss out on the tournament and your program wasn't that great before you got there, it gives fans a glimmer of hope and it makes you maybe go, oh, okay, I'll watch the NIT. Like, you know, the guys are going to be good. But if you're making the NIT in like year three, even year two, what is it really doing for your program at that point?
Well, you make a good point, because Chris Beard, his first year at Ole Miss, won 20 games, you know? Like, and what did Ole Miss fans say? I mean, Chris Beard, they're like, we ain't playing in the NIT. We're not here to play in the NIT. You know what I mean?
Right.
But even Ole Miss fans are like, don't want to go to the NIT.
Right. Because you've experienced it enough. It's been close enough. I think Mike White's first year, Georgia made it to the NIT, and Georgia fans were like, heck yeah. Like, this is something to build off of for next year. And they did. They got to the tourney. And then they got back into the tourney, and they got absolutely obliterated. Of the stats from this, just when you look at the stat sheet, you just wonder, like, who was playing who. You know, this doesn't feel like an SEC's 8 seed coming out of the SEC loss, because Georgia shot 35% from the field, not from three,
from the field.
St. Louis shot 58. Georgia also didn't shoot well from three.
So they didn't play well offensively, and they stuck defensively.
Yeah, free throw percentage. They took more free throws than St. Louis. Georgia shot 65% from the free throw line. St. Louis, 82%. They got out-rebounded 47-36. The assists is just crazy. St. Louis 27 assists, Georgia 9. They got one more steal than St. Louis. They lost. St. Louis had more blocks.
Way to go, guys.
St. Louis did have more turnovers. Points in the paint. 66. 66 points in the paint for St. Louis. Georgia had 28.
Dude, what? That is insane.
Well, baby Jokic just put it on him.
And listen to this. This is the worst part.
Do we got any highlights like baby Jokic and all them dudes? Like, we need to be running some highlights on this thing, man. You know,
I always feel,
like,
weird about NCAA tournament time because I've gotten in trouble before from them. They are really serious about use of highlights. So I try to play it safe.
Lame.
Okay, well, largest lead.
Whenever we like knock out the bracket, you know what I mean? Because I want to do that. To put a bow on this, because we got
Listen, you got cover. This is the worst part. This is the part we've been building to here. The largest lead for St. Louis, 40% led, 99.
Mike, dude, say that again.
Percent led, 99% of the game. 99. Led. And their largest lead was 40 points. Yeah.
That can't happen.
Cannot
and
happen.
So that's what I'm saying. So like now you look back at the regular season and it immediately not delegitimizes it. It doesn't do that, but it makes people inevitably go, well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. And
it's just inexplicable though. And I think Mike's post game was just kind of like, I've never seen a team play this bad defensively. Like, I just don't even know where to begin. And I feel bad for him. Like, I like the guy, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel bad, but I'm also like, my brother, this is just going to become your reputation, you know? And I've tried to defend him, too. I've had people from Florida be like, oh, man, good luck to Georgia. Good luck exiting in the first round every year. Exactly what's happening.
That's exactly what happened.
Ole Miss fans, like, try to say, when Beard leaves, we should go after Mike White, cool, would be a great homecoming, but that is something to consider is... Are you just okay getting in the tournament, or are you going to at some point get sick of losing in the first round?
This is a great setup for me. I have thoughts about this. Are you giving
please,
me some?
Please take the floor, my friend.
Before we do that, let's hear from our friends. Hey, come back in here. Get back in here.
I'm here. I didn't go anywhere.
Do that, I don't like it when you leave me. Get back in here, you bastards. See, I didn't say it. I bridled my tongue. Let's hear from our friends at C Spire and Riverland Roofing, who do so much for us here at Talk of Champions, Game Runs Deep, the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Fitted on 3, this QR code right here above my head. If you scan it today, join us at the Ole Miss Spirit. Half off for new members, an annual sub, half off right now for our spring sale. If you sign up, scan this QR code, sign up and join us. Sudu posted yesterday or the day before, guys. He did it. He posted. Now, he didn't post anymore. He's a jerk. But responded to his stupid post, and the stupid jerk still didn't respond. So come hang out with him because Sudu is there, and maybe like pull him out from hiding. Say, Sudu, you jerk.
No, I responded to somebody who couldn't get into the bracket. And also,
I'm saying, like, people want to hear from you. They want to hear from you.
Before Ben continues on his diatribe here, let me just say that we have decided that whoever wins this Game Runs Deep Talk of Champions bracket that we've got. Not only are you going to get a signed Laquon Treadwell Pro, which, God, I want that, man. That thing is so cool. That's just like one of those
cool
things.
I'm not
going to
lie. I'm mad at myself for volunteering it up.
I know. That's a hell of a coffee table book right there, man.
I'm saying, you can say, how did you get this? I won the tournament pool with Ben Garrett and Sudu, and Ben just gave me a Laquon Treadwell signed pick. I've had this for a decade, bro. Like,
yeah.
Crazy.
So you have that, but also... whoever wins, and if you're not in here right now, we'll post on the Ole Miss Spirit message boards, or maybe that person will never find out. But
Sudu,
the winner, we want the winner to come on the show. So we're going to have whoever wins this bracket pool come on Game Runs Deep with us.
Yes.
And we want you just to talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. I felt like it was a better, and I don't know, like, we have non-Ole Miss people that are fans in here too. You may not want the Laquon Treadwell program, so you can come on. The
bully for me then. Well, I'm glad that you're returning it to its rightful place. No, I want an Ole Miss person to win it so I can send them this. And maybe I'll include something even more fun. I got a bunch of fun trinkets in here. Like, seriously, I was looking around. I got a bunch of crap I can give away, you know? So yeah. This is just the first of many. I want people to hear from. Scan the QR code. Go to the Ole Miss Spirit, Ole Miss Spirit. Let's hear from C Spire and River Linda.
Bye, babe. Let's get to work.
Advanced technology to accelerate business growth. There's more to see.
Start my weekend.
C Spire, customer inspired.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
Okay, so set me back up because that was a great question. Thank you to Riverland. Thank you to C Spire for Riverland Roofing. Call them at 662-644-4297, online at riverlandroofing.com. I love Billy Landis. Praying for my friend. He's going through some stuff. If y'all are the praying type like me, man, lift my guy Billy Landis up in your prayers, but please continue to support them. I absolutely adore them, man. They're great people. Same thing with C Spire. It was funny. I was flying back from the Fiesta Bowl. The C Spire, they've been a part of our programming for a long time, but they came back strong. It was funny. I was flying back from Fiesta Bowl. I sat some down beside Wade Mina, who was like deep off in C Spire. Didn't know who he was. He knew me. We talked about everything. Yeah. And now C Spire's back. They are family, man. And it's so cool to have them back. So support them as well. CSpire.com. All right. Tee me up, dog. Hit me up with it. Tell the people what I'm about to go in on.
So first of all, shout out my boy Wade. You mentioned my dog Wade. I'm gonna shout him out first. Second of all,
Orion, what's up, Orion? Hope you're good, my guy.
So the question is, obviously, Ole Miss fans, knowing Mike White is a former Rebel, one of the more decorated players to come through the program, coached under Andy Kennedy.
Sure do.
Obviously, would want him to come home one day to coach Ole Miss basketball.
Not necessarily, but potentially.
Potentially, right? Which I don't know if he would ever just leave Georgia to leave Georgia.
He never has done so.
Yeah.
He's had multiple opportunities.
You know? I don't anticipate he wants to. But my point is, Ole Miss fans always talk about that. It's like, oh, what if Chris Beard leaves, we try to go get Mike White.
He's always on the hot board.
My question to Ole Miss fans is like, I love Mike White. I think he's awesome. But there was a long time that I wanted him to be the head coach at Ole Miss. But after seeing his first round exits and some of the, you know, from his time at Florida, now his time at Georgia, do you just accept like, oh, we're just happy to get into the first round of the tournament and we don't really care? Like, even no matter year after year, you know who's a great example of this? Wisconsin, who lost to
as the 5 to the 12, in 2013 team. When my guy Murph and Marshall, man, where is Marshall at? He was supposed to come on the show this week.
All those guys beat Wisconsin. But Wisconsin has lost to a lower seeded team in each of their last four NCAA tournament appearances, fell to number 11 Iowa State in 2022, 12 seed James Madison in 2024, lost in the second round last year as a 3 seed to 6 seed BYU. And so when you have that year after year after year, if you're an Ole Miss fan, do you still take Mike White and go, well, we're willing to deal with whatever first round exit, whatever. We're just going to be happy to get in there and know that a Rebel is taking over the program. So that is the kind of the question, because your ceiling with Chris Beard, as we saw, the if it doesn't go right, it's this year. But if it does go right, it's a Sweet 16. And this is a guy that's, you know, one of the best in the sport that took Texas Tech to a national title, that took – where was he at? Was it Northern Arkansas? What was the school he was at where he was taking them into?
Arkansas, Little Rock. He took four separate teams to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
He got the clock for grinding my gears. We hadn't done this in a while. Do you still have the clock?
You just let it rip.
I'm one screening you.
I'm going to one screen you here.
No, you're not. You stay right. Get back in here. I'm going to sit here silently making a miserable podcast.
You got this. Come on.
All right. So here's all I'm going to say. Chris Beard has already come out and recommitted himself to Ole Miss for next year, saying how we're going to use the next few months to rebuild the roster and all those things. There was some interest either from him or from other schools, but he will be at Ole Miss next year if you go by his words. So this is not like Chris Beard isn't going anywhere, especially in the immediate future, right? So for at least a year, it's still Chris Beard, maybe for a long, long time. I know Ole Miss certainly hopes so. 15-20, no one expected that, and that's the first losing season in Chris Beard's long and decorated head coaching career, taking four separate teams to the NCAA tournament. But this year was a disappointment. So there were some rumors that, like, well, Chris Beard's wanting to, you know, do a contract reset, get out of this. Who's to say it won't happen again next year, the year after that? Let's say that one day Chris Beard isn't the head coach at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is going to have to ask itself a very hard question. All right, what do you want out of your basketball program, right? What do you want it to be? And some will go, well, go get the next Chris Beard, the next coach that you can get, not necessarily on a discount, but maybe wouldn't have considered you otherwise, right? Or you could do a reunion with Andy Kennedy if it's just about making the NCAA tournament, right? If you want to just sell tickets and roll in the nostalgia play because you don't want to spend the money necessary and the tens of millions of dollars to pay for a roster. That would be more appealing to me than like going after Mike White. But Mike White, obviously, with the Ole Miss connection and being tight with Keith Carter, they're best of friends. Maybe he gets to that point where Ole Miss is the best left option for him. But at that point, if you're Ole Miss, I don't know what good that does you. So at that point, if you're Ole Miss, if and when Chris Beard is no longer your head coach, which again, Ole Miss and everybody around it, y'all should want Chris Beard to be your head coach for as long as humanly possible because he's one of the very best at what he does. While Mike White will always be on hot board because of the connected tissue and because he will always leave that option open for him, I'm not sure that that's ever where Ole Miss will go for myriad reasons, not the least of which you want Ole Miss to always be in the tournament, yes, but what Ole Miss has made clear is like it will support a real winner in basketball, right? But it does set face the same kind of questions that the Georgia does. Well, like fans will quickly turn on you if it's not competitive. So you want constant competitiveness, always there on the bubble. Where was Andy Kennedy? Always there on the bubble. I'm not saying that's the way they go. I would go for a young up and comer and try to build it in that way, like a true new identity. But hard questions will have to be asked. And I think that there are other options that will be better than Mike White, to where I think we can stop talking about the Ole Miss connected tissue. He's made it very clear to me, or like in my opinion, he's made it very clear that he's not coming here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think he understands, too, because he has his own limitations. He can't make it out of the first round. If he can't do it at Florida or at Georgia, you think he can do it here? Right?
Yeah.
Now, maybe just because it's home and he was like, well, it's like making a promise with somebody, I don't know, in college, maybe in high school. Hey, look, if we're both 40 years old and we're not married, you know what I mean? Let's just get married to each other. That's what it feels like to me. And I just feel like that's a regressive viewpoint, especially in 2026 when you need juice. And the nostalgia of it would wear off so quickly. There'd be a lot of fun to it initially, but if the same results followed.
I will say this to Mike, and you and I have had this conversation about like, you know, working in Oxford, living in Oxford, different things like that, and me having grown up there. Like I always tell you, it's like, Ben, I don't want to come back. I don't want to come back and just do this without having done some other things that I want to do, because one, I love it there. But two, like, I don't know. There's just, I feel like you have certain things you want to get done before you can go back to a place that you feel comfortable in and whatever, and just be like, okay, I have nothing else. I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to do what I do. The other part for Mike though, I think, is what's happening right now at Memphis with Penny, which is if you're such a beloved player and you're such a, you know, people love you, they know you're an Ole Miss Rebel, whatever, and it doesn't work out, that's pretty shitty. Like, look at what happened to Matt Luke, you know? And Matt Luke is, you know, he's been to Georgia, he's been at Clemson. I don't think there's ever a reality where we're going to ever see Matt Luke just come back to, like, to be a position coach at Ole Miss. Mm. I just don't see that at all, because he got to be the head coach and it was awful. It was like one of the worst times for the program. And I think for Mike, that might be part of the motivation. I've never talked to him about it, obviously. I don't know this for sure, but I remember during Louisiana Tech time, and some people think maybe he slighted Ole Miss or something along those lines, but I think part of it is like maybe at a certain point there were limitations that Mike probably noticed. I mean, he was playing and he was coaching under AK at the Tad Pad with barely any resources. And so part of that probably has gone to the decision-making in the past, but now if you flame out at your alma mater,
it's what over.
Do you really, yeah, what do you really do at that point?
It's
if you're
over.
Him?
It's so, over.
And he can get really good SEC jobs still. I mean, he got the Florida gig. I mean, he's, you know, taking Georgia to the tournament. And if it doesn't work out at Georgia, I'm sure he'll be able to get a job at a respectable program.
But will it be Ole Miss? I say no.
I don't think so either.
Ole Miss fans, a quick timeout. Because I've actually been using Underdog during these NBA playoffs, and I'm not kidding, it's kind of become part of my nightly routine. I'm already sitting there watching games, flipping around, keeping up with everything. So now I'll jump on Underdog and make a couple of picks. It's easy. You're just picking higher or lower on player stats. Points, rebounds, assists, whatever you feel good about. Like this week, I'm riding a couple of playoff scores I trust for higher on points, maybe grabbing a big for rebounds. Nothing crazy, just going with what I'm already seeing, and that's what I like about it. Underdog doesn't feel forced. It just fits into what I'm already doing. So download the Underdog app today. Use my promo code CHAMPIONS for Talk of Champions to score $50 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS. Underdog. Make picks. Win money.
Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska. 19 plus in Colorado for some games. 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. And present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-MY-RESET or 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP, 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Ole Miss fans, look, I know, we're all locked in on the Rebels. Spring football just ended, the portal, recruiting, all of that. But when the NBA playoffs hit, I've got a game on somewhere. And the best way to get in on all the action is by playing on Underdog Fantasy. In my experience, it works because it doesn't take a ton of time. You just pick higher or lower on stats, and you're in. I usually keep it simple. Star guys. LeBron James, Jason Tatum, Luka Doncic. Whoever's on. No overthinking it. No spreadsheets. Just something to make the games a little more interesting. While I'm half watching, half working, I'll throw together a couple of picks while I'm also refreshing recruiting updates, just like the rest of y'all. So join me. Download the Underdog app today and use my promo code CHAMPIONS for Talk of Champions. CHAMPIONS to score $50 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code CHAMPIONS. Underdog, make picks, win money.
Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. Or 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP, 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXT-STEP to 53342. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
If you listen to Talk of Champions, chances are you're already the person in the group chat arguing about matchups, statistics, and who's going to have a big game. That's one reason I've enjoyed Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy lets you take those options and build pick'em entries around the players and teams you're already following. Whether it's football season, basketball season, or baseball season, I find myself checking projections, looking at matchups, and seeing how my picks stack up throughout the night. It's simple, it's fun, and it gives you another reason to stay locked into the games you're already watching. Lately, I've been spending some time digging through player projections and building entries around matchups I feel strongly about. If you're already following sports every day, it's a fun way to put that knowledge to the test. And right now, Underdog Fantasy has its Steal the Pot promotion going on. There's $1 million sitting in the pot for players who correctly identify the steals leader in the NBA Finals. The more final games you back that player, the bigger your potential share. So download the Underdog Fantasy app today and use my promo code CHAMPIONS to score $50 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. Again, that's promo code CHAMPIONS to score $50 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. It's Underdog Fantasy. Make picks. Win money.
Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-MY-RESET or 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP, 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXT-STEP to 53342. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
We've covered a lot of Mike White ground here today on Talk of Champions, but Talk of Champions, you know, Game Runs Deep. Long way of saying Georgia was, in my opinion, so far as the first round continues on right now, Texas Tech is up on Akron in a 5-12 matchup. 16-3.
Hey, our Santa Clara over Kentucky pick is looking okay. It's 23-18 Kentucky right now.
It's early, man. I'm not a Kentucky believer at all in this team this year. So like, just stay right there in it. Georgia has been the most disappointing team to me. And I would want to say it would be BYU, but no, Georgia was.
Oh, I mean, dude, no one has ever shot 66% in the paint against another team. Like there's anomaly stats from that game, like historic stats. It was that kind of beatdown. The other one, by the way, that we called in our Ben Murphy pseudo bracket was VCU over UNC. VCU came back to force overtime. VCU shot 42% from three. Terrence Hill Jr. was a monster. 34.7 three-pointers. And I feel so bad for UNC, obviously, losing Caleb Wilson for the season. Henry Vassar did his thing. He had 26-8, but he missed a critical free throw late, made a mistake on try to, like, rim it off to get the rebound and the shot, messed that up. UNC led by 19 at one point. And the entire game, the reason I picked VCU was because of the injuries for UNC, but they've just been so flat recently that I just felt like VCU was going to be the better team. And the entire time they were down, I never doubted VCU, the 11 seed getting the win over UNC. That was one of the better ones outside of the High Point win over Wisconsin. And then, Ben, the Miami of Ohio win over SMU in the round of four, Redhawks shooting 39% from three on 41 attempts. Absolutely buried your boys, man, the Mustangs. I know you're a big SMU believer this year.
I really was, and that's one that I'll own it, man. They completely showed me how foolish I was to pick against them. So a couple of things. Number one, the Fighting Bill Armstrongs let me down. But VCU, like if you're North Carolina, that's back-to-back years where you've gotten bounced in the first round.
Yeah.
All right? That's North Carolina. That's probably outside of Duke and even maybe ahead of Duke, the most recognizable college basketball program in the world. Bounced back-to-back years in the first round. How do I know that? Because Ole Miss did it last year, too. Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely hooked up on a better team. So if you're UNC today, you're asking real questions about Hubert Davis.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm surprised the man still got his job this morning. I thought they'd move quick because, the one thing, Roy Williams rebuilt North Carolina.
Yeah. Right?
He did. And I like QB, man. Like, he seems like a good dude, but, he was handpicked by Roy Williams, and it has not been good.
Yeah.
Right.
And now especially when you have, you've got John Shire who basically took over after another GOAT in Coach K and has done what he's done. Round of 32, Elite Eight, Final Four a year ago. they got a scare from Siena, but pulled it out. And I still have them going pretty far in this tournament this year. But when you're talking about the difference between North Carolina and Duke is like almost cross town. It's so close. Mm-hmm. And you got Shire winning at this crazy clip, one of the winningest coaches in a certain amount of years taking over in the ACC. Like, he's just racking up wins. He's got Duke in that conversation every single year. And you look at Davis, they were runner-ups his first year, but since then, they would have been an NIT team. I think they declined the invite the next year. Sweet 16, round of 64, round of 64. That's, you want to talk about Georgia and Mike White? Cool. You know, you can accept that. Ole Miss, cool. And North Carolina, round of 64 exits, that doesn't work. That doesn't fly over there.
See, and that's the one thing that'll be disappointing once the NCAA tournament inevitably expands is, first-round games won't mean dick.
It better not expand, man. Oh, my God.
Oh, it's expanding. It's expanding. I bet you it expands after this year, dude.
I thought this year was the greatest example of why it shouldn't expand. I mean, could you imagine Auburn in the tournament? We didn't need that.
I agree.
There are teams that definitely did not need to be in the NCAA tournament that would have if it was expanded. And it's like, why are we watering this thing down?
Yeah, and it'd be watered down to a point like the graphics would say, well, Stephen Pearl led Auburn to the NCAA tournament in his first year and compared to other coaches like who did this. It's like it's not even apples to apples. They're not even apples to oranges. It's like apples to turnip greens. I mean, this is bizarre, you know? And so we're going to water down the product. We're going to water down the accomplishment. We're going to water down everything in regards to it just to squeeze a little bit more out of the turnip, which for these people that make these decisions, that's all they care about. They care about the money.
Right.
And so, like, it's going to expand just like the college football playoff is going to expand. You just hope that at some point these gritty people will actually care about the sport that they're supposed to be guiding. And while money is like, greed is a powerful thing, man. Like, all I know is watching Ole Miss back when watching Keith Carter in them as a 4 seed lose to Bryce Drew, how that felt compared to if a team like Siena upsets Duke. Like, Duke would just move on to next year. Like, John Shire would have to ask some tough questions. But, like, look at what already we've done with the expansion of it to where even the exclusivity of getting to the tournament has been bastardized. And now you're going to water it down even more. I hate it, but just hoping for the best with it. And, like, it's funny. They talk all this stuff about, like, lack of opportunities for other kids when it comes to, like, Trinidad and stuff like that, right? But then if they expand it to 78 teams, like, the NIT's dead. It's already right. dead, but, like, it's dead. Like, the
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, you get what I mean? Like, the bowl games, y'all are going to expedite their death.
Yeah. The CBI is not even a thing, right? I saw you starting to mention that. Yeah, it's just gone now.
The CBI. You know, I was about ready to say CBA because I'm so used to talking about collective bargaining at this point.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, real quick. The only difference I will say, you said why Hubert Davis still has a job. It's because of the injuries, I think. If it wasn't for Caleb Wilson being out for the season, Vassar missed some time too. I think next year will be it, though. He's coming into the year. Yeah. It's so funny to talk about a coach that has just led his team to the NCAA tournament being on the hot seat. But yeah, dude, I mean, if you're getting that again next year, if you're UNC, you gotta say, hey, this isn't really our standard here. Mm-mm.
And the thing is like, I don't know, if you've already decided that he is not the future for you, I'm a big believer in not waiting, but I want Hubert Davis to work. He was the hand-picked successor from Roy Williams.
And I think that's playing a factor into it. Mm-hmm. Also the runner-up finish his first year. I think all of that's carrying momentum, but once again, like, you can't do this again next year and expect to see him back.
Can't do it. And you don't want to sully or to water down the reputation. Like, Roy Williams doesn't need to be known as the guy who picked a successor that put UNC at a place competitively that it should never be.
Right. 100%, man. The other, by the way, disappointment for me was we picked St. Mary's over Texas A&M. Mm. Texas A&M did their thing.
Heck yeah, they did.
You're right. The SEC, like, once again, we pick against, and that's how I kind of feel about, I'm feeling about Kentucky, who's only up by one on Santa Clara right now, which is, you know, we have these opinions of some of these SEC teams that we watch more frequently than the rest of the country, and we go, oh, that team kind of looked weak at the end of the season, or this, that, and the other, but, you know,
comparatively.
Yeah, Texas A&M, maybe Kentucky, we'll see how they fare in this one. Georgia was the one anomaly in this, what I'm about to say, but, like, they're still playing tough competition week in, week out to where, you know, like, Texas A&M had no problems with St. Mary's.
Like, I'm tempted. I wish you could do the first four thing is a problem in terms of picking brackets, all right? Because, like, I wish I could pick that Texas would have, like, would I pick Texas? Probably not, so it's moot, but, like, once you see Texas going to kind of run like this, man, I could absolutely see Texas take out Gonzaga.
And it's Sean Miller, too. Like, it's like they're coached very well.
Yes.
They have, you know, Daylon was the kid's name? Was it Daylon Swain?
Yes.
Right? And then Volpatitis.
Meanwhile, the Big Ten is 0-2 so far in the tournament.
Yikes.
Mm. Yeah.
But, no, that's hilarious. So for today, Ben, I mean, obviously for me, we're watching this Kentucky game right now, hoping Santa Clara gets the upset. Who else is in action today? Let me actually
right now, Texas Tech is playing against Akron.
Akron, we've got Akron. We picked Akron.
We've got Akron in this game. I'm glued to the TV. For those watching, like, I can't take my eyes off the tournament.
No, I know. I've got the Kentucky one on over there.
Yeah, Texas Tech is up 18-14 early in the 5-12 against Akron.
Yeah.
And we have
Let's see.
Hey, call Drew Moak for health insurance. 601-953-8449. 601-953-8449. Online at quoteswithdrew.com for all your Ole Miss merch. It's College Corner. 662-550-4330. That's 662-550-4330. Online at collegecornerstore.com.
And then we've got Utah State, Villanova, which we took Utah State over Villanova. Miami of Ohio, Tennessee. I've got Tennessee moving on, but man, I'm just rooting for Miami of Ohio. I've been talking about them since we had Trey Wallace on the pod, man. I'm just a big fan of what they got going on down there. Let's see, what else? Iowa, Clemson, I think, you know, 9-seed Iowa could probably take down 8-seed Clemson. Northern Iowa plays St. John's, what was supposed to be my Cinderella, getting the Johnnies. I don't think it's going to work out well for them. UCF, UCLA, we took UCF. That's another exciting one.
Fighting John Bowles.
And then, man, something about Cal Baptist, Kansas. I don't know what it is. I didn't watch a lick of Cal Baptist this year. I just kind of studied up on them in time for my bracket. Something about that is making me feel like it's going to be closer than we anticipate. And then Missouri, Miami, the last tip off of the night, we picked Miami over Mizzou. This could be another example of us maybe underestimating the SEC. But Miami, like I've mentioned, every time they made the tournament the last few years, they've made somewhat of a run. So I think for that reason, I took Miami. But we got some exciting ones coming up. I want to touch a little bit on couple things, Ben. One is the targeting rule change, and two is some spring practice storylines. I want to get your thoughts on some Ole Miss stuff too, but this new targeting rule change is much welcome. They're only trying it for 1 year, but they are now not going to disqualify a player if it's their first targeting for the next game. So they would still miss whatever game they're in, but instead of punishing them and making them sit out, what is it, like a half? It's like a half, right? The next game. They're not doing that anymore. If you get a second targeting penalty of the season, you will have to sit out the first half of the next game. And if you get a third one, then you're going to sit out a full following game. But I don't think a player has ever gotten more than two in a season. So what are your thoughts on this? I saw this yesterday. I was like, this was a very sensible rule change. I've always thought it was like really terrible to make a player sit out an entire half for the next game for something that happened in a previous game. Oftentimes it's an accident too.
Yes. I love the move. You give credit where it's due. We talk crap about the NCAA and everything that they do. But when it comes to this specific rule change, I'm only going to say it's the right thing to do. Absolutely. Yeah. I would have loved to seen, maybe treat it a little bit like a flagrant one or flagrant two.
Yeah,
and that way you could check, like, upon review, immediately all games stop at review for a targeting thing for this specific reason, because, like, the penalty can be more or less. But that's nitpicky. I think this is a great decision. It's the right decision. It's fair. And it made no sense to double punish players in that way.
100%.
If they get kicked out of the game, that in and of itself is a massive, massive penalty. To hold them again for two more quarters the next game seemed excessive, and I'm glad that they did what they did. Surprised even that they did what they did.
Yeah.
But I think you're more than anything, it's less about giving credit to the decision makers than acknowledging that the NCAA, not necessarily with targeting, but just in terms of its overall rules, is trying to become more and more uniform with the NFL. If you're ever wondering where they're going, they want to do everything the NFL does.
Well, there's that fair
bargain, Sudo, except collectively
except
bargain.
Except the thing that matters the most. And the fair kickoff, the fair catch kickoff rule now, where I believe if you fair catch a kick, a team can now choose to attempt either a kick or a drop kick for 3 points from that spot, which is an NFL rule. It was used, I want to say, like 2 years ago. It was the first time I've ever seen it used. And I was like, what? You can do that?
Yeah.
So you can do that now in college. The other part of this targeting rule is you can appeal. Like, your school or a conference can appeal after the second targeting penalty, and it goes to the NCAA national coordinator of officials, and they'll review it. But
let's appeal to the group that gave the punishment, handed the punishment down. I wonder how that's going to turn out.
Pretty much, yeah. No telling.
It doesn't. As far as that specific rule change, a tip of the cap.
Good for you guys.
That was the right way to go. Right move.
Spring practice. I'm trying to hit these quick because I know we got to get out of here. But spring practice is obviously upon us. Our good friend Austin Simmons named the starter at Missouri. It was expected. So happy for him, Ben. I mean, I said a year ago that I thought Austin Simmons was going to be the first legitimate Heisman contender for Ole Miss since Eli. And people came and said, what about Darton? What about this guy? And I said, legitimate, as in top three Heisman candidate. And obviously it didn't go well for Austin. couldn't really process the speed of the game, struggled, kind of was like a one-read guy. And then obviously Trinidad came in and took over, and the rest is history. But
Trinidad,
I really do think Trinidad from Michigan, man, always on island time. But I really do think he's going to have an Arch Manning-esque year next year where he'll struggle, he'll make some mistakes. But I think by the end of the 2026 season, he's going to be coming into his own. And I think 2027 is really where you get the full Austin Simmons experience. But what were your thoughts on Wow. You know, normally I'm all in, but here I am trying to give our boy Austin flowers, Austin Simmons his flowers.
What were you saying? Oh, no, good for Austin Simmons. Here's my whole thing.
Go ahead.
Naming him the starter, it seems very – put me back on – you better join me back on this. Stop doing that to me. Naming him the starter, like, duh. Duh. Of course he's going to be the starter. Is that not part of the negotiations? If you truly treat college recruiting, the transfer portal, like free agency, Austin Simmons, who – I mean, I wonder if Missouri pre-portaled. I wonder. They did. I'll say it very clearly.
We all knew. I mean,
Missouri pre-portaled to land Austin Simmons, but do you see Ole Miss fans going, oh, no, it's crying foul? No, because it's part of the culture. It's what it is. Part of the – like in free agency, when Kirk Cousins signed with the Falcons, it was a big deal. When Michael Penix took over for him, first when they drafted Michael Penix, but then when they started him over a dude they're paying $18 million a year to, $30 million, I don't know what it is. The numbers are crazy. I would venture to say the portal is very much like NFL free agency. When Austin Simmons went and sat down in the pre-portal process with Eli Drinkwitz, when he talked to him on the phone, it was, this is your job. You can lose it, but like, it's your job. It's performative. Like, of course he's the starting quarterback there. I wish the absolute best for Austin Simmons. He held himself like an absolute pro. He did. All right. Do I have more questions today than I did going into last year about what he is as a quarterback? You betcha. For obvious reasons. Because you laid it out pretty well there. I mean, he became a one-read guy. I didn't see, even when he got run, the improvement. Like, I remember when he came in late in the season and replaced Trinidad, who'd gotten hurt. And his first two, I think you and I were watching it together. His first two passes or something, man, he just led him right into the red zone. Ends up, like, he was knocking on the door and looked sharp, looked confident. It was still one read because everyone wants to reference the Georgia drive, which I did all last preseason.
Yeah.
When you go back and watch the Georgia drive, they called their offense. Lane wasn't wrong
it's
in that.
It's very telegraphed, man.
It was telegraphed. Yeah. It was. Like, throw it to Caden on fourth down, right? And I don't think he's moved past that necessarily. I'm not saying that he can't overcome it. He's just very early on in his career. As far as being named the starter, duh, of course he was named the starter. That's part of negotiations now. Kirk Cousins wasn't signing with the Falcons because he thought he was going in there to potentially compete with Michael Penix. He was signing there because they needed a starting quarterback, and he's their starter. That's part of the calculus. That's part of the numbers that they're paying you in NIL now. So, like, Austin's number on the sheet is representative of a starting quarterback. To where Missouri can try to protect itself in a lawless environment if it goes sideways. All right. So this is not anything to do with Austin as what he could be or whatever. I'm just saying, of course, he's the starting quarterback at Missouri next year. The story would have been if he had not been the starting quarterback for Missouri next year.
Yeah. I mean, they got an entire wide receiver on the premise that Simmons was starting. I mean,
Caden Lee, who has been.
Just they are giddy about him, you know, and we all know what Caden Lee can do. I mean, it sucks that he's not in Oxford anymore. But
well, I reached out to him for us. I was like, hey, Caden, you want to come on the podcast on Friday? He never responded. So, sorry. I just wanted you to know that I put in the effort to have Caden Lee come on, help us run the game deep.
No, man.
Yikes.
You've been on one today. The permanent pause for you.
Been on one.
Bro. Might as well just hit the stop button, really.
Man, I came in here talking about the Sermon on the Mountain. You done paused me three times because my tongue is unbridled.
Yikes. I
believe Austin will be a good quarterback in this league. Is going to end up being an NFL quarterback. Is he a sure thing? No.
No.
Could it go the other way? Yeah.
Yeah. I think my my prognosis of him is just the arm talent alone. Like, it's just such a, like, the just
huge
beautiful
arm.
Throws, man.
Huge
and
arm.
when it works for him, like when he is who he's supposed to be, it's right. incredible. It looks the zip right. on the ball. It looks awesome.
When it's like it's supposed to, when everything is as scripted,
yeah,
man, it's pretty. You're like, dang, they made that kid in a lab, a quarterback lab.
But I think part of it is it's just got to let him get those live reps and mess up like we saw with Arch. He's going to have to face some tough defenses and take his hits and throw interceptions and turn the ball. Everything. All these different things are going to happen with him for it to, I think, click and for it to make sense, because he is a smart kid. We know that about him. High IQ. But, you know, I think ultimately he will have to just – you know, work out all the warts and get rid of all that stuff, you know, in order to become the Austin that we think he can become. So happy
Question.
For him. Yeah.
One, you didn't flinch when I left this room. You didn't even. And then when I came back, and why did you switch sides?
Because when I edit this later, I'm going to have a preset. And it's going to copy paste, and it's going to mess the top bottom.
You now know, that I know that, I could be a real troll, but I'm not going to be. I'm just,
you could. You could, you know.
Caden Lee's going to be good. I'm curious to talk. I would love to talk to Caden about his leaving process, because there are a lot of Ole Miss coaches and teammates that thought if Trinidad got his waiver, he was coming back.
Yeah.
Because he told him that. So he's not a bad guy. He's not. Like, Caden handled himself like a pro. I don't blame him for going to Missouri, but, like, don't expect a warm reception for them when they come back to Ole Miss. That's, like, just part of the culture now. It's like, you can't, like,
I think Austin, 3 years. I think Austin's going to get a round of applause.
I think Caden will too, but I'm saying it's like the minute that whistle blows, oh, dude, they want you to play terribly. And they want to root your demise at that point. But here's my whole deal. Caden is in his final year, all right? And this is such a silly thing to think about, but this is how my stupid brain works. When he goes to the NFL, because he's going to go to the NFL, like, I believe in Caden Lee 100%. Love his family, just great people. Like, I want people to understand, I'm not trying to in any way knock Caden Lee, because I think he's awesome. But the way he left was, come on, man. You know, you say it with your chest. You know what I mean? There's some things I'd love to ask him about. But more than that, when he's introducing himself in a starting lineup for the Buffalo Bills, and he says, Caden Lee, does he say Missouri for 1 year or Ole Miss for three?
He's going to say Missouri. I mean, it's – or say his high school. That's, like, the big thing now with these guys, man. It's, you know, God, who was it? Somebody made an Ole Miss comment. Yikes. I'm trying to remember who it was that said something about Ole Miss, like, in an NFL game. Because, like, it was a Mississippi State Ole Miss kind of conversation. It was, like, a former Rebel. It might have been Quinshon, dude. It might have been Quinshon.
Now, I know Quinshon did mention Ole Miss and Ohio State. Didn't he? I think he might have. Dude, is Quinshon face turning here? Is he face turned?
No. I think after the incident a year ago.
But hold on. But after Lane left, does Quinshon, I mean, Mama Judkins, she's never escaping the allegations. Yeah. But Quinshon, yeah, we've talked about it before. He was right.
As far as Kiffin, yeah.
He wasn't.
You know
wrong,
what it was?
Early.
I think Jeffrey Simmons tackled him, and he mentioned something about Mississippi State, and Quinshon looked at him and said, "Oh, you the ops." So
let's go.
It had some Ole Miss people wondering, was like, wait. Because when he left, I was making a joke with everybody. I'm like, hey, man, you know, it sucks he's gone, but, you know, Quinshon was a good Rebel when he was here. Yeah. You know, just to troll people. Once a Rebel, always a Rebel, you know, and trying to just kind of mess around with people. And everybody's like, hell no, he's a traitor. He's not a Rebel. You
Bradley
know?
Bowles, 2947. Hold on, I'm sorry. When are you and Zach doing a recruiting video again? Well, Monday, it's me and Brad, and we've got Kermit Davis. We're going to talk about the tournament and stuff. My guy Kerm got in, you know, hit me up on Twitter. I love Kerm, man. I can't wait to talk to him, catch up with him again. Tuesday. Like, I love talking to Zach, and we will do recruiting, and we want to line up some recruiting guests for y'all, including potentially and hopefully an Ole Miss assistant or two. So,
hell yeah.
Next week, Bradley Boys, we will be having a new recruiting video. They have to do one this week, and just is my fault.
It's not. It's never your fault. It's Zach's fault. Two betters. No, I'm kidding. Zach's awesome.
It's always his fault. It's always
No, but, like, that is the question now you ask for a lot of guys. It's like, yeah, you spent 3 years out of school. It's like when Masoli left, like when the season ended, the year Masoli was there, people were texting me, like as I was in high school, I think, and be like, dude, my cousin saw Jeremiah Masoli at the KA house and he was wearing an Oregon hoodie. And, you know, and it's just like, yeah, well, of course he did.
He's an Oregon duck.
He's an Oregon duck at the end of the day. But with the portal now, that was back in the day where you were a grad transfer. And, you know, you ran out of eligibility. You're going to grad. You're going to go play somewhere else, whatever. Now it's, I feel like you're just choosing, like, there is no allegiance wherever you go. So wherever you end up last is the school you claim. Like,
I want to provide a solution then.
Okay.
All right. Like Malik Heath, just go, Malik Heath, Egg Bowl Twitter, baby, and move on. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. You know
that's
what I mean?
Why, that's why I think a lot of guys shout out their middle schools and high schools and stuff now for that reason, or they do both. Like, I don't know, man, it just depends on who you are. You know, like I'm Joe Burrow loves to say that, hey, I got my degree from Ohio State, but I, you know, I'm an LSU Tiger. Like, I don't know.
It works.
Yeah.
It I'm just saying, like, it's just different now. You know what the pride, like, you know, it will become a thing. You know this on the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com for LiveOn3, this QR code right here. Scan today. New members get in for 50% off. We'd love to have you at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. The Ole Miss Spirit after a football game, during a football game, during intros, if so-and-so Ole Miss Rebel did not say so-and-so Ole Miss, it became a thing. It was on the socials. It was on the message boards. You know what I mean? Like, if Mike Wallace got up there and said, Mike Wallace, St. John's Parish or wherever he's from in Louisiana, you know, people would go, wait a second, you're an Ole Miss Rebel. Now.
Right.
Now, I don't, it's not a thing anymore. So, give a shout out to everybody. You know, Malik Heath, or even more unique to say, a house divided. Mississippi State, Ole Miss, baby, let's go.
It also depends on, like, how you left that program. Malik Heath. You know, if you still have a good relationship with the coaches, like, I think it's maybe from person to person, but it is funny now. Like, you know, I saw a skit on TikTok or something a while ago where it was like, you know, Kevin Johnson, BYU, Utah, Texas Tech, Oregon, Washington, you know,
like TJ Finley, I hope TJ Finley,
Sacramento Valley State. Yeah.
Like, I hope TJ Finley starts one day. Like, let's see. Let's get the exact list here. TJ Finley's how many schools?
Finley, like, look at
first thing. The first thing that pops up when you search TJ Finley is TJ Finley schools. All right. TJ Finley, LSU, Auburn, Texas State, Western Kentucky, Tulane, Georgia State, and Incarnate Word.
Do Jaden Rashada.
Jaden Rashada. Oh, his was only two.
No, it wasn't. He was.
Oh,
Arizona
no.
Well,
I was thinking of Jaden Daniels. Florida. Jaden Rashada, yes. Jaden Rashada. Arizona State, Georgia, and Mississippi State. Oh, no, sorry. Arizona State, Georgia, Sacramento State, Mississippi State. And you know another move's coming.
Florida. Mississippi you State. Forgot about his Florida move.
Florida, Arizona State, Georgia, Sacramento State, Mississippi State. Clang-a-lang-a-lang-a-lang-a. Clang-a-lang-a-lang-a. That is crazy.
I'm very interested to see what happens.
Initially signed with Gettysburg, request to release following a failed $13.85 million NIL deal. Mm-hmm. If you're Florida, you're like, all
right,
yeah.
Right. Well, that went to, I don't know what ended up happening in court, but I was convinced Kirby signed him just to troll Florida.
Any updates on the NCAA case saga?
Which one?
Ole Miss and tampering? Nothing? Nothing? I'm trying to see what happened as we were reporting here.
Yeah, I haven't seen any notifications, but I did see Trey, our good friend Trey from Outkick.
Heck yeah.
He was on with, who's the guy? It's like the SEC guy on Twitter. I forget his name.
Mike Bratton.
I think, I believe he was on with him and he was
Mike Bratton who had a lot of stuff to say about your friend BG, but, you know, I'm not hard to find, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
This isn't a fighting thing. It's just like, hey, Mike, if you ever want to talk, my phone number is very easily accessible. DMs are always open on Twitter. No one played message board. No, excuse me. No one played Keyboard Hero. Don't speak on people that you don't know about. Sorry. Go ahead.
Like I said, I don't know the guy personally or anything, but he had Trey on and he asked him about the Ole Miss thing and what would happen from that. And Trey's whole thing was, you know, kind of what we already know, which is, like Clemson can call them out, but Ole Miss has tons of receipts on tons of other schools. And it just kind of turns into like Ole Miss just is not playing this game right now because it's like, oh, if y'all want to play the game, we could turn up. You know, like, yeah, because his thing was like, they haven't had a press conference for Pete. They haven't addressed any of this. And it's like, why? Why would they?
Right.
Because at the end of the day, if it really is going to turn into something, then I'm sure every other school does too, not just Ole Miss, but they're like every SEC school, any school that's in it for any kid has receipts on some other school. So Clemson was the only one to speak up, but Trey basically said what we already knew, which was, you know, the reason they're not doing any of this is because they're just like, well, we got a lot of stuff on other schools. So if we're going to play this game,
There is a dude on Twitter who always pops into my mentions. Let me find him. His name is at Better Go to Mo's. Always asking, Ben, where are those receipts you promised? You're really bad at things. I've seen them. It is not my play. Again, we ain't snitches. All right. First of all, they're not my receipts. They're Ole Miss's receipts. So Trey Wallace actually reaffirmed with something I've already told you. While they are not mine, they do exist, and I have seen them. And that's the point. It's like Ole Miss doesn't care because this is part of the culture. The tampering thing is a problem. Everyone acknowledges that. But the idea that Ole Miss is doing something untoward that everybody else isn't doing is asinine. And we all need to point the fingers where they deserve to be, which is at the idiots in Indianapolis. Now, Go to Hell LSU is on the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of 3. Sign up today for new members, 50% off. If you've heard of anything new, let me know, because I don't have anything new on that other than what Sudu has been kind of saying. Do I expect anything to come of this tampering stuff? At worst, Pete Golding is suspended for St. Mary's Sisters of the Poor. One game suspension.
Yeah, one game.
That is the precedent. Otherwise, see you in court.
Right.
And the NCAA is living in court right now. Trust, they don't want that either. So it's not my receipts to give. Those receipts exist, and Ole Miss is saying everyone is doing that unless you're ready to quite literally punish 20 other schools too. See you in court.
That stuff cracks me up too. It's like, show them. Show the receipts. It's like, no, it's not ours. We don't
see.
We don't
and, here's what, and here's what I would say too. Is like, I don't care about that. I don't like. Did LSU tamper with TJ Dottery and Prince Will and Devin Hart? Yes. Okay. I don't believe they should be punished for that. Like, Ole Miss does it. State does it. Everybody does it. You got to, because the idiots in Indianapolis have failed to do anything to protect the sport, the greatest sport in the world.
I would like it enforced. I just would like it enforced.
I want some collective bargaining. I want a 2-week free agency. I want a 3-day run where I'm like, dang, Ole Miss just signed the best tackle in free agency.
Yeah.
That's way more interesting to me because it's honest.
You saw the Big Ten's proposal.
This stuff ain't honest at all. This ain't honest.
You saw the Big Ten's proposal, right? They want the Big Ten's proposal. They want essentially bird rights so you can go over the salary cap to retain players. I kind of love that.
I love that.
Get to keep your team together and actually preserve what college sports is supposed to be by keeping guys at one program. So you're not naming seven schools on Sunday Night Football.
I love that. I didn't even know about that. A great idea, because it's like the NBA. Like, dude, like if I want to sign Kiwan to a max contract, why not? You know what I mean? Just what's the cap? What's the number? Is there a salary floor? But they don't want to have those conversations. Instead, they want to have the conversations of cheaters and non-cheaters, when really the people who are robbing everybody blind are the idiots in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And that's the problem in the world we live in now, man, is like everybody loves to be ruled, bro. It's crazy.
That's how you know someone is uninformed about college sports, is like the casuals that watch or maybe just like, you know, follow their team or whatever, and like the ones that want the NCAA, like you want like the government, essentially. Mm. You're like, yeah, I trust them. They're blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you're such a casual. You've clearly not been watching. You haven't been following cases. You haven't been seeing how they're enforcing stuff. Like, that's how I know that you just you just don't know ball. Like, the people that support the NCAA or just think like they're going to come save us, you're like, you're dumb as hell.
That's like, that's like that meme of Rob Lowe sitting in an NFL game with a NFL hat on. You know what I mean? What are you doing? You rooting for the man? Are you insane? Like, they didn't rage against, you know, college football. They raged against the machine, man. Like, dude, they didn't rage. You don't rage against the common folk. You should love this stuff, man.
Right.
My whole thing is, like, we all agree that the system's stupid. Like, honestly, the thing that's really concerning for me is unless there is a fix, and I don't think there's ever going to be one, Sudu, people don't care as much as they used to.
Mm-hmm.
Sudu.
No, it's true.
People are tired. There is donor and giving fatigue.
Yeah. 100%.
Go to hell, LSU says it's like wanting the DMV to take over healthcare.
It makes it's stupid. It makes no sense. Like,
we need a fix here because, dude, I feel like the sport, while the quality of it is better than it's ever been, the soul and the health of it is dying.
Yeah.
Like you're watching the final gasp of a bygone sport. And that is tragic to me. So don't root for Ole Miss to get got by the government.
Right.
Like that's mutually shared destruction. That's continuing to oppress your own self, LSU, because they could do the same selective bullcrap to you. No, say, guys, put collective bargaining in place, please. Hey, I love the idea of signing Kiwan Lacy to a max contract.
Yeah.
Dude, I love the idea of bird rights. That's fantastic. What about no such thing as a college football draft? So what could be a draft pick compensation? Could it be two additional scholarships for your 2027 class? You could sign two more guys than everybody else. What's comp picks? What does that look like for college football? Compensatory picks because of what happened to you in free agency. Like you've already got free agency. Once this college basketball season is over, it'll be Santa Clara's up on Kentucky 31-29 at the half.
Let's go. We need that. We need that for the bracket. I would love to see. I think college football can continue to be the same as far as like passion and all these other things are concerned. And you can still add new wrinkles and really bring back new wrinkles. I think when we had Chris Lowe on, I suggested, what if we just brought back freshman football in college football? What if you, because right now the conversation has turned into, well, high school kids don't have as many opportunities because you have all these older kids that are staying in college longer and they're bouncing around programs and taking NIL deals to go to programs and you're building these rosters that are relying on older players. Well, dude, I think it'd be awesome if you brought back freshman football teams. So this used to be a thing back in the day. You'd have the freshman squad and you had the varsity or the main squad. Imagine like all these high schoolers that you bring in, basically almost like a farm system in soccer or something where they're playing their own seasons, whatever. And let's say the playoff expands and you have more games and you have attrition, you have injuries. Hey, we got this kid. He's been playing all year on the freshman squad.
Bring him up to the active roster. Maybe you can, if you want to give up two high school signee spots, you can draft off of someone's freshman football team. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, think about Ole Miss's freshman football team this year. Caleb Cunningham would have been on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And, dude, like, you can have staffers that are on the main staff that
are for the freshman football team.
That can be coaches for the freshman football team. So they're getting reps and becoming better. You can do it on Friday nights or something. Like, alumni.
You don't do it during that season.
Yeah.
Like, what would be better to do? Like, if you could turn it into like a preseason tournament of some kind. Or in the summer or spring or something. Yeah. Or you could do in the spring. Immediately upon season end is freshman football. And that replaces spring football. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah absolutely.
Like early enrollees, like Emmanuel Faulkner's on campus for Ole Miss right now, signed the tackle from New Albany. He plays on the same team for Ole Miss in spring football, freshman football, as Caleb Cunningham, who didn't get to play much last year. Like, the criteria is you have to play this many games or fewer. You can't go and put Keywan on a freshman football team just to win you the whole thing. Because if you win the whole thing, maybe it's the money, like whatever money that is, like it's like the $1 million tournament in the NBA. Like, you win $1 million for the play-in tournament or whatever it is. Like, you win $1 million for your NIL. You know what I mean? Or like, there are ways to do it creatively.
Yeah. You could even do it within the conference. It could just be conference by conference. So you don't have as much travel.
Yeah.
I guess if you're the Big Ten, then you'll have insane travel because you have schools in the West Coast, which still makes no sense.
Well, that's their problem.
But you know where this is headed?
This is headed toward SEC self-governance.
Oh,
100%. While Greg Sankey, he only cares about being a celebrity. He does not care about making this work for everybody. Because if he really did, the SEC would be the NFL's Roger Goodell. He would be the commissioner of football. Greg Sankey would be. Now, other guys aren't going to want to give up that power, and they're going to fight it tooth and nail. But really, they have no legs to stand on with this. Like, Greg Sankey, if he wanted to pressure, he could. Right?
Yeah. I think Slive would have had the SEC already pretty much independent of. They'd be taking steps to do it.
But like high school recruiting, we don't care about it anymore, man. Like right. In February, we got to get out of here. But in February, yeah. We used to have a holiday, bro. Every first Wednesday of February, it was a frigging yep. holiday. And you remember how it was. You did it with me. I mean, it was morning to night. All right.
Oh, yeah.
And in the lead up to it, man, there was nothing better than being on a message board and all the rumors and the trips and this, that, and the other. All of that could be recreated in that way. Do I think, like, go to Hell LSU on the screen? He would love a copy and paste of NFL rules, schedule, draft, combine, free agency, salary caps, playoffs. The problem is, like, all right, maybe the recruiting piece could be the combine. All right. Like all kids, all these Elite 11 camps and stuff like that, schedule them. The Manning Passing Academy, for goodness sake. You could do all of that in a more regimented, scheduled amount of time that gets us. Like college football could be year round. It already is, but at least it could be a way to capitalize on what it is and make it special again. Because all you're doing right now, I mean, thank goodness the on field product's better than it's ever been. Indiana just won a national championship.
Right.
Because if Alabama was still winning every title, dude. I can't imagine the waning interest. People are fed up because, like, what made this special was feeling connected to it. And now it's quite literally, hey, if you can give, great. If you can't, well, good luck paying for your
Santa Clara is just coming out hot. 31, I'm sorry.
35, 31. Because right now, like, everyone's being priced out.
Yeah.
They're raising money on season ticket holders of 60 years when those are the guys that should be people that should be celebrated.
Right.
And saying, hey, man, here's a comp ticket. Here's comp tickets for this season for being a loyal. But anyway, we gotta squeeze out every dollar.
And just imagine like what you're talking about. It may be hard for you maybe in the fall for jobs or whatever. Maybe you just can't come to Oxford as much. Maybe in the spring you have freshman football going mm-hmm. on. That maybe the tickets are cheaper.
Yep.
It's a lot more affordable. It's yep. warmer.
Yep.
You know, maybe, hey, we're down in Oxford for a baseball game, baseball series. Thursday night before the series starts Friday, there's a freshman football game, and Ole Miss is playing Alabama's freshman.
Dude, I think Cunningham's going to be a dude, bro. I mean, I think LSU and them are going to try to, like, poach him and give up two of their high school combine picks. You know what I mean?
It's like, yeah, exactly. There's just so many possibilities. So I would love to see college football bring back freshman football. I think it would do more. It would take away from this whole conversation of opportunities for high school kids being taken away and development opportunities not being there and kids transferring.
That's the thing. That's the thing, dude. They want to keep that.
Yeah.
They want to keep that as their excuse so they can keep it. Because all those people care about, the idiots in Indianapolis, the pseudo-celebrity Greg Sankey, all they really care about is how much money they can squeeze out of you.
You think of how much money you can make out of an entirely new season of football, too.
But that would take actual work in shepherding the flock. That ain't happening, bro.
That's fair. Okay, we do have to get out of here because I'm about to be so plugged into the Santa Clara, Kentucky game.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate y'all for joining us again on this Friday here on Game Runs Deep and Talk of Champions. Of course, you can follow Spirit Ben at Spirit Ben on all social media. Subscribe to the Ole Miss Spirit, QR code right above his head. All the conversations that are not happening on this podcast will continue over there. You can follow me at Sudo TV, follow Mudcat Media as well on all socials. And if you watch us anywhere that's not our respective socials or whatever this live stream is, please go subscribe, give us a follow. That's Mudcat Media. That's me. That's Ben.
Don't delete your socials.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
And if you win our bracket, tell them not just this.
If you win the March Madness Runs Deep, the bracket pool here on Game Runs Deep, you will get a Laquon Treadwell signed program. Not only that, you will get an opportunity to come on Game Runs Deep amongst our thousands of viewers and talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. So, really excited about whoever wins. If me or Ben win, then obviously we will pick whoever's the next highest to come do that with us.
Yes, of course. And maybe we'll get Murph back on with us too, because there's no better Ole Miss Rebel, in my opinion, than Murphy Holloway.
No doubt about it.
What you're competing against right now, you're trying to beat, if nothing else, you're trying to beat the Smurf B bracket. That's what you're going for, because that's me, Sudo, and Murph today. And it's not going to be really hard because, dang, we're like 26.
Yeah, the Smurf B bracket is not doing too hot, but maybe we get some comebacks.
It's because y'all dismissed little old Ben Garrett telling y'all to pick teams like St. Louis.
We messed up Louisville. We messed up St. Louis, I think. Those are the two. But anyways, all right, Benny G, it's been a pleasure as always. Thank y'all for joining us. We'll see you next Tuesday on Game Runs Deep.
Let's go, Sienna. Let's go.